Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a beautiful weekend. We are already in August. Where is my summer going? I don't think I've summered nearly enough. I need to get outside. But it's been hot. Have you summered at all, Jordan? I don't know if you and your lady, you got a new lady in your life.
We went to the beach in May.
Yeah.
We went to the pool a little bit in July.
I have not touched a pool all year.
Yeah.
Not even once.
Yeah, so I guess I have summered a little bit, but it's been mainly work.
I think it's because Richmond is so hot during the summer. That's what makes fall in Richmond so much fun, because we just try to jam as much living into it as we can.
Makes sense.
Lots of festivals and everything like that. But I have not. It's already August. And to you lovely people out there. And you know who you are. You're on my Facebook page, and you've already started posting things like, only 16 more weeks till Christmas. Please do me a favor, and how can I say this nicely, with love and compassion? Shut up. There you go. I don't like hearing about Christmas until like 3 weeks out. Two weeks out, I'm good for Christmas. I got a lot more living before I get to Christmas. So just stop it. I know you love it. My friend Donna, she's already like, I want a Christmas book. So big show today. Got a ton of stuff to talk. I have more tabs open on my computer than a millennial of different stories that we're going to touch on. But first, I want to give you guys a little update on yours truly, because that's what we kind of do here. I have been given an opportunity. And once again, I will be asking for your help. And this is only slightly. I need it? I'm not asking for anything, you know, important. Or maybe I am. I have been once again invited to do stand-up out at the Kindred Spirit Brewery. That will be the second Thursday in August. Not the third, but the second. So it's in 2 weeks. And Jordan, I'm a little nervous about this one. I wasn't nervous last time.
Yeah.
Well, last time, first time up there, it's just me. I get up, I either do well or I bomb.
Yeah.
That's it. Who cares? And I expected to bomb miserably. I didn't. Now, I have been roped into, quite literally, comedy blood sport.
Yeah.
Okay? It is going to be me versus another comedian. There's 8 comedians. They break them up into groups of 2. Both get up and do a 5-minute set, and whoever gets the most applause moves on, and whoever doesn't has to go sit down in shame. And I'm going against some people that, like, do this all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm a little nervous.
I think you'll be all right.
Okay, well, here's the upside. One, if we get a lot of listeners to come out, I'll stack the deck. I don't mind cheating this time. But two, every comedian is going to be picking their own charity to donate money to, because we will be collecting cash, and the winner, the money goes to their charity. Kind of, you know, like any of these, you know, competition shows. I have picked the Leukemia and Lymphoma Association. Lost a niece to that a few years ago, and we still try to donate money to research. I'm one of those hard-headed people. I get a little angry. I think about the billions of dollars that's collected for charities, and yet I don't see anything getting cured. Maybe I'm just being a jerk, but if you want to, second Thursday, I think it starts at 7, so it's pretty early. You'll get home in time to get a full night's sleep, but you could come out to Kindred Spirit. It's right out there in Goochland, and you can watch me and a bunch of other people get up and I'm working on a couple of bits. And my thing is, I don't, much like the show, I don't tell jokes, I tell stories. And if you want to hear the story about me going to a nude beach for the very first time, I guarantee you it'll make you laugh. It's going to be awesome. So some of the things that we have to talk about today. Remember, you can call me at 345-1140. That's 345-1140. You can also contact me on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. I never look at Twitter. I can live without it. I really can. I think it causes too many problems. But I'm on there, so you can follow it. It's mostly the same stuff that you see on Facebook. You can also go to WRV.com. If you miss any part of the show, you can download podcasts from there and get the radio.com app. Some of the things I want to talk about today, and I've had people send me stuff. One, and there's an article. I have put it up on Facebook. I'm going to go over it again. People are finally starting to say, learn to work with your hands. Seriously, learn to work with your hands. Right now, what's being paid for people that are willing to get dirty is ridiculous. I'm considering picking up the tool bag myself. I'm that close. Just because it's crazy money. You know, these people that say, I want $15 an hour for minimum wage. Why? Learn a skill and you can make 25. Easy. We're going to talk about the tax-free holiday this weekend. I saw this story online. I don't know who this realtor is. I'm in real estate. Showed Jordan and his lovely bride-to-be a house just Tuesday. I think I might have found them their first house. Hey. But a lady did the most brilliant pictures for her MLS listing that I have ever seen in my entire life. I laughed so hard. I thought I was going to die. I want to be her friend. I truly do. And we can talk about what you can do to your home if you want to sell it. If you want to do an open house, it can be stressful. It doesn't have to be. Also, a lady wrote in about her stinky sink. That happens. We can fix it, or at least we can try. There was a Bigfoot sighting and shots were fired. Yes, I believe in Bigfoot. I believe in all of it, people, or at least I want to believe in all of it. Let's put it that way. I want to believe. UFOs, Bigfoot, vampires, werewolves, you name it, sure, I'm in. You know, lizard people, why not? Let's go for it. Also, a local guy is going on a TV show for a big barbecue. A Florida woman, well, she did something really stupid. And I lost power last night. Yep. And I don't know why. But we will discuss all of that. Plus, I posted that I might have to divorce my wife. The reasoning drove everybody nuts. It was a joke, people. Relax. It's fine. My name is Richard McCann. You follow me on Facebook, Richard McCann. Give me a call, 345-1140. You are listening to The Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. WRVA 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the home show. Tell me what's going on. Give me your questions, queries, conundrums, riddles. What is happening in your neck of the world? That's the way I said it. I saw this article, and then here's the funny thing. I posted it, and then Jordan posted it on my site, and I think it's worth saying again. We're getting ready to start school again. I think we're already, 3 weeks out? maybe four, for kids going back to school. Now, when I went to school, I went to a private school when I was a youngster. From second grade all the way through sixth grade, my parents sent me to the same Catholic school that my mother went to. She wanted me in that school. St. Patrick's. It's now condos, by the way. Beautiful school. It's now condos. And then we finally just realized it had to be switched to public school. Not a big deal. I mean, it's closer to the house and it's public. Okay. And I went to public school, and I'll admit I was lost completely. I mean, I knew nobody, and I knew had no idea how school worked. I mean, in private school, especially a religious school, I mean, every day we would have, or every couple of days, we'd have religion. We would go to church. I mean, there none of that was happening in public school. And so then I was given the first thing they said is, well, what optional classes do you want? And I said, optional? What are you talking about? And then I discovered shop class. Mr. Long, if you're listening, I hope you're proud of me these days, sir. That was my first shop teacher back in the seventh grade. And it was wonderful. I mean, we did some crazy stuff. We learned silk screening, photography, metalworking, woodworking. I mean, all kinds of neat stuff that we could do with our hands. And I think it kind of led on to other things. My eighth grade, I took two different shop classes. Loved it. Had a great time. Didn't keep going into high school. Didn't happen. But I didn't need to. I was working with my father on the weekends and after schools and summer breaks, stuff like that. So always was always doing something, always learning something new. I'm going to say this, as a teenager, I wasn't a very good student when it came to, you know, learning stuff and holding on to it. My dad more than once just looked at me like, boy, I don't think you are mechanically inclined. Things change. Things change when you have to pay attention. So what I did, I mean, when I left Richmond and I moved to Manhattan, I had nothing. I mean, I moved with like a duffel bag. And I found a job running a copier. That's how long ago this was. Nobody owned a printer. And if you did, it was one of those dot matrix. I mean, nothing like, you know, what we have today. And so I ended up at a stationery store running a copier. That lasted like 3 weeks. And then I started doing their shipping and receiving department. I realized it wasn't enough money. So I took a couple of bucks. I went to a hardware store. I bought some really, really, really cheap electrical tools. I mean, stuff that could have probably gotten me killed. I think, honestly, I had to make my own insulated screwdriver because I couldn't afford one. But I made one and just hoped that I didn't get fried. And after I made a decent living. I was working during the day. I was working at night. And then eventually the guy who hired me as electrician hired me full time. And after a couple of months, I went from being his electrician to be head of his, you know, his work crew. We were redoing apartments. It was fine. It paid the bills. I was 21 years old living in New York City. Which, by the way, people, gets a bad rap. For those of you who say, I'll never go someplace like that, please do. See it once. New York isn't what it used to be. My New York and what's there today, two different things. But when I came back to Richmond, you know, I came back to help my dad with his company. The company wasn't doing great. He'd lost his father. Things, you know, were just troubled. And that's what you do. You help family out. But I needed to get my license. So I started going to night school. It was only like twice a week. It was only a couple of hours. Twice a week. Maybe it was three. I think it was twice. And so I was able to, in just a year and a half, I think it was, 2 years, get a license that would pay my bills anywhere. I'd get a job doing any place. Anybody would hire me. So here's the article that I saw and has been sent to me on a couple of different occasions. And the reason I keep bringing this up is because when I watch the news, all I hear is a lot of nonsense about, oh, I've got student debt. I've got student debt because I went to college, and it's really, really expensive, and I can't pay it back, and I can't find myself a job. The HVAC world is down by 35,000 people. They're expected to be down by 350,000 in like 10 years. 345-1140. Robert in Chesterfield.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm excellent, sir.
Hey, I wanted to, about working with your hands and learning things. I just turned 60 years old. My father taught me carpentry, electrical, plumbing, when I was a very young, like 12 years old. And I went to college, I got in the corporate world, went to the big seminars at Harvard, all that stuff. But when I went back to using my hands all my life, I never wanted for money. I could fix anything, knew everything. When I taught Sunday school to 10 to 12 year olds back in the 70s, I told these young men, learn to work with your hands, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, carpentry, bricklaying. And it was quite a pleasure to run into them years later, and they were successful. They were happy.
And they had a nice house, they had a decent vehicle, and they didn't have debt.
Hey, you know, they worked hard. They made good money. I used to wear the tie and the coat in Manhattan. I had an office there in international shipping business. I was miserable. When I went back to work with my hands, I had a blast and made more money. And I'm 60 now, and I have a wonderful job at a private school as a facilities manager, and I'm the only guy. And I get to fix everything like Mr. Miyagi. And so it's like a blast.
You pulled a Miyagi. That's a deep cut there, bro.
Nah, you know how to fix everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I never wanted for anything because I always could find something to do that somebody needed fixed. And they couldn't get anybody to return the call.
And let's not forget the fact if anything broke around your own house, you didn't have to spend your money to hire somebody to come in and fix something.
Exactly. Hey, I'm going to switch gears on you. You're talking about Bigfoot.
Yes.
Back in the middle 70s, when the Bigfoot really kind of came out, I used to hunt in Colorado every year, my dad and I in Wyoming. But we went to Oregon and Washington, and they actually had signs up when you went to a campground, beware, caution, Bigfoot, you know, sightings. And we used to ride the motorcycles down the snowmobile trails down through the forest. And I actually thought I saw one time, to be honest with you. And, but my dad, on the next morning, threw open the door of the camper, fired his .30-06 out and said, Bigfoot. And he was just kidding us, but he got our attention. But when you were in the middle of that forest where the signs were up, you felt it. You know what I'm saying? It's real.
And here's the thing about Bigfoot. You're actually going to smell them before you see them. Just like yeah. You do. They smell horrible. Robert, I appreciate yeah. it. I'm glad you're working
Thank
with
you,
your
buddy.
Hands and keep on doing it.
Appreciate you.
Later. No Bigfoot sightings in Virginia, though. But Pennsylvania, a lot of Bigfoot. But that's beside the point. We'll talk a little bit more about this. We will take your calls at 345-1140. That's 345-1140. Don't forget, check out WRVA.com where you can download podcasts of the show. My name is Richard McCann, and this is The Home Show on News Radio WRVA. That's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Oh, and please don't forget, follow me on Facebook because sometimes I don't get to everything I want to talk about, and you can find it there. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRBA, 345-1140. Here's the phone number. I just want to wrap this up because I know I feel like I'm beating a dead horse because I bring it up so often, but I think it's just something that needs to be heard And then I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone for a couple weeks at least. I'll just let you go because you're probably right now going, Richard, again, please stop. We get it. We get it. We get it. But do you? You know, I've read articles. One of the ones I've been trying to get him on the air. I'm not even going to bring up his name. But there was a gentleman lives here in Richmond. Went to college, very prestigious college. Went to work in California at a think tank. I'm not even sure what a think tank is. Jordan, any clues what a think tank is? Because I'm lost.
A bunch of narcissists that sit around smelling their own gas.
Okay. All right. You know, driving Priuses and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he worked there, hated it. Moved to D.C., did the same thing. Made money, hated it. Came to Richmond, started a motorcycle repair shop, wrote a book about it, talked about the satisfaction. And I think that's a big chunk of it for me. You know, I've worked in an office. I did it. I did it for almost 2 years. Hated my life. Hated it because what was I really doing? Nothing really. I wasn't creating anything. I was pushing paper around. If I go home today like I'm supposed to and cut open the wall in my bedroom, pull out two of the last pieces of galvanized pipe that are left in my house, because they're in the wall. I did not want to, when I rewater piped the house all those years ago, I didn't want to cut open walls because I wasn't sure about how to patch it. Plaster. I've since been taught. But if I gut that wall, if I cut it open nice and neat, I get it all of it out, I replace the pipes, I install the electrical receptacle I need so that I can put in the new toilet seat. Yes, I just said I need an electrical receptacle for the toilet seat. I'll explain it later. But if I do that, if I get all of that done, and it's not as particularly hard work, but when it's finished, I'm going to step back and say, I did something. My wife came from a family where they hired people to do their stuff. Her family was the kind of people that I would work for. And when she and I got together, I've told you this story. We have a two-bedroom house. I took the back bedroom. I was just using it for storage. It was just full of junk. And I cleaned all the junk out. And I brought in painting supplies and sandpaper and the like. And I put it in the middle of the room. And I said, honey, this is yours. She'd never done anything like it before. She'd never sanded. She'd never scraped. She'd never painted. She'd never patched. She'd never painted trim. Nothing. And she'd never done it. And was it quick? No. You know, I could have hired a buddy of mine. That's all he does. He could have come in and by the end of the day been finished. It was a small room. It took her about 2.5 weeks of diligently digging away at it. Guess what? It's the nicest room in the house. And on top of it, not only was she super satisfied with what she'd accomplished, it lit this little fire underneath her that now she wants to do other stuff. Thusly why I have to gut the wall. So what I'm saying here for you people, you grandparents, okay? You parents, you people my age, okay? We were told, people my age, us Gen Xers, we were told we had to go to college. You have to go to college. You'll make something of yourself. You have to go to college. I couldn't afford college. I have a sister that went to college. I have several brothers that went to college. Some of them found work in their trade, what they got their degree in. They were able to find that position, and they ran with it and worked with it, and they're doing great. Some can't find anything in their field. I see it all the time. But here's the funny thing is, my sisters, my brothers, all of us, even though some are more formally educated than others, every single one of us knows how to work with our hands. Every single one of us knows how to do something. So I was reading this article, and this is from Kevin O'Leary. I guess he's one of the billionaires on Shark Tank. You watch Shark Tank, Jordan? I've never really...
I've seen a few episodes. It's not my go-to.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. But you know what? The nice thing about Shark Tank is those are all people that built stuff. Every one, single one of them built something, did something with their hands, and went to these people to try to make it go further, and they did. Well, this was this article was by Kevin O'Leary, and I'm going to skip a lot of it. I'm going to skip a whole ton of it because his basic idea was college isn't for everybody. Right now, college debt in this country is $1.5 trillion with a T. And what Mr. O'Leary says, think about the trades, roofers, construction, home building, O'Leary says. There's so much demand for that, people often overlook them saying, I'm going to poo-poo that career. Why? You can get rich there a lot faster than getting a history major. What do you have your degree in? Fine art. I'm a psychology major. I have a degree in art history. I have a degree in German history. I'm glad you're interested in it. I truly am, but what are you going to do with it? In particular, O'Leary advises if you're looking at trade schools, consider studying to be an electrician or a plumber. Every single building on earth wants to have electricity and plumbing working, he says. Think about it that way. I don't care where you are, people are going to want your services. Indeed, plumbers are ranked 59th of the top 100 jobs. Plumbers are ranked 59. That's pretty darn good. On U.S. News and World Report's 100 Best Jobs for 2019, ahead of occupations such as, it is better to be a plumber than, watch this, market research analyst, veterinarian, and sales manager. Plumbers made a median salary of $52,590 in 2017. $52,000. High end, $69,70. I've actually heard of plumbers making more. The occupation has an unemployment rate of 7.4%, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects a 15.6% unemployment growth for plumbers between 2016 and 2026. Meaning there are going to be less plumbers incrementally over the next 10 years. Actually, we're down to 7. And here, my friends, is the final bit, and then I'll leave it alone. I won't say a word about it for at least a month. I'll leave it alone, walk away. Here's my thing. In the next 2 to 3 years, you, my friend, are going to pay $1,000 to have a toilet installed. The toilet and all the materials that go into it, wholesale, about $350. Wholesale. $1,000 to install it. That's if somebody showing up at your house, disconnecting the old one, hauling it outside, putting it in their truck or vehicle, bringing in the new one and installing it. And I'm not bragging, I'm just stating a fact. I can install a toilet in about 30 minutes. Imagine that. You're talking $700 profit for an hour's work. That's where I'm going with this. Get your kids in the trades. Because there's a lot of people out there that are saying, oh, people are coming in from other countries. They're getting those jobs. They're getting into the trades, and they're making money doing it, and I'm proud of them for it. Just think about that. I know people, you want to go to college? Go to night school. Get your degree on the side. You can pay for it out of pocket because you got a good job working with your hands. My name is Richard McCann. I am done ranting and raving for the rest of the day. This is the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. McCann on News Radio 1140 WRBA 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. And just like Ron in Chesterfield.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
I have a question for you regarding an electrical problem.
Let's see what we can do.
I have a general fault circuit in my kitchen, 20 amps. I've got 6 circuits along the daisy chain. I have changed the fault circuit twice, and at random, it might last 6 hours, it might last a day, and it pops out and won't come back on for 6 to 7 hours and possibly a day. I'm wondering if it's one of the circuits along the daisy chain for the receptacles.
What year was the house built?
1933.
Oh, no, no, no. That kitchen's been rewired since 1933. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
I said, when was the kitchen remodeled? Because you're not dealing with a 1933 kitchen.
I'm guessing in the late 80s, early 90s from the looks of the circuits that are in the wall. I'm thinking about pulling down each one of these receptacles along the daisy chain and checking the wiring on it.
All right. Ron, here's what you are dealing with, my brother. And as usual, as a person who worked as an electrician in the 80s and the 90s, I would like to apologize for all electricians everywhere because we did you a disservice. There are two ways to wire a receptacle. One is you strip the wire, you wrap it around the screw, you tighten that screw down, and you walk away. Right?
The other one is to shove it in the back of the thing, right?
Egg salad. And here's the problem with that. After a while, they start to loosen up, and they can come loose completely. They can burn out. They can short out. And it could. And here's the thing. The receptacle could be working fine, but the next one to it is not. So I would say I'm 90% sure somewhere on your quote-unquote daisy chain is some wires that have popped out of the back of the receptacles.
And, okay, well, I'm thinking fire is what I'm thinking.
I guarantee you'd smell it.
Yeah, there's nothing just more distinctive than electrical burn.
Oh, no. I was sitting at Casa de McCann, and all of a sudden I heard a buzz, a pow. Didn't know what that was. Realized a breaker had tripped. Went to reset it, realized that, no, a receptacle in my bedroom had exploded.
Good Lord.
I'm not joking either. I mean exploded. There is a smear across my wall. So hopefully, I think you just got a loose wire. And it'll take a little bit of time to take them all apart. But, you know, just wrap them. As you take them apart, wrap them around the screws so they're done right.
Okay, because there's like 6 circuits along there. The receptacles, there's 6 circuits.
Which is too many. I mean, it really shouldn't be that many on one GFCI.
No, that's what I was thinking. I've done a little bit of everything, basically general contract work, everything down to working on an automatic pin spotter. It just seemed a little strange to me to have that many on a 20-amp circuit.
Yeah, by code these days, you have to have in a kitchen 2 small appliance circuits, 1 circuit for your refrigerator, and I'm fairly certain the lights have to be on their own circuit.
Okay. Well, that answers my questions, because I've had a couple of electricians come out there and look at it like a monkey working a math problem.
At least you're not playing with a football.
Yeah, at least not a football.
All right,
Ron. That on the air.
You got that right. Ron, thank you so much, and go forth and home improve.
Okay, I'm going to run through the house with a voltohm meter and check me some wires. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. And do follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And go to WRVA.com, where you can download the radio.com app and listen to podcasts of the show. Let's see if I can look for something that someone asked me. Oh, okay. Because here's the deal. On Facebook, I asked the night before, what do you guys want me to talk about? And this one comes from one of my favorite fans, Igor. Igor Grabinski writes, I'm being a horrific listener and doing no research myself on this one. I'm sure that never happens. How easy is it to relocate filters on your HVAC system? Every time I have the system serviced or repaired, they always give me a hard time about the filter and in the same breath remark aloud how difficult it is to get to the filter where it is presently located just upstream of the hair handler in my crawl space. I'm like you think about two things that might be related. Anyway, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, not sure if certain systems are designed to have resistance, i.e. filters, in a specific place, or if I can just remove it, patch it in that location in the ductwork and get a new filter for the intake inside of my house, which is light years easier, blah, blah, blah. Sorry for the poorly worded question. Hope I got it out there correctly. Okay, here's the deal. The most important thing on your HVAC system is the filters. It is absolutely 100% the most important thing for you to pay attention to. I've been saying it myself. You want to have those filters change at least once a month. If you are like me and you've got two cats and a dog that shed like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. Not the dog, the cats. Never, ever have I seen animals shed this much. I pet the cat and it's like I'm wearing a mitten. So I would have to clean filters if I had central air conditioning every three weeks. So if you are one of those people, and they did this, they designed systems for years, and they still do, where the filter is actually inside the air handler or right there at it. It works. It truly does. But for me, there's two problems. One, they are difficult to get to. It takes a while. If you're can get to it easy, boom, you can. But if it's in a crawl space, either upstairs or downstairs, you're not going to change it as much as you're supposed to. You're not. Admit it. And two, the other problem is you now have dirty ductwork. Because instead of the filter catching all the stuff before it gets into your return, it's just clogging up the sides. Now it's still hitting a filter and it's still, you know, staying out of your system, but it really is not a big deal to go to wherever your return is. And that's the big grill. It's in your hallway somewhere, top of the stairs, that type of situation, because remember, air has to come in and go back out. All the grills around your house, they're releasing air into your home. You have to pull the air back in to circulate it. It really isn't that hard to put in what's called a filter grill. It pops open with two screws that you can unscrew with your fingers, open it up, change the filter. Easy. And I do believe if you own a cordless drill and a couple of sheet metal screws, you can do it yourself. True story, I went to inspect a house for a local synagogue. The rabbi moved. They wanted me to look at the house, tell them what needed to be fixed. I walk in, and the returns were underneath the stairs as you walked into the house. And I didn't know that until I walked into the house and I heard this wheezing sound, just a whistle, if you will. And I knew the air conditioning was running, and I hear this whistle, and I follow it down, and I find the main stairs, and I see there's a filter grill on either side, and I open it up, and there is a welcome mat. I don't think that filter had been changed in a year. And as soon as it was actually difficult, not hard, but you know, you could feel the resistance of the system pulling the filter back at you because it was that stopped up. And as soon as I popped it loose, you heard the whole house go like somebody had just been holding their breath for way too long. So Igor, yes, you can move your filter. It'll be a lot easier on you and on your tech. My name is Richard McCann. The phone number is 345-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions, he's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to hour number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Welcome, everybody. The sun is coming up. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, and welcome to August, which means it's going to get hot. It's okay. I don't mind. Kids are going to be going back to school soon. Summer, is it winding down? I don't think so. I don't say summer's over till September, but that's just me. Most people, kids are back in school, summer's over. Not for me. It was funny, though. Went to Jamaica last year for my honeymoon. Went the first week of October. And I asked them, you know, when is the best time to come to a resort? Because it was not very crowded at all, which is kind of the way I want it to be. I don't want people around on my vacation. What? I get the whole place to myself? Great. It wasn't a lot of people. Interesting enough, if you want to go to the islands to vacation, I was told end of August through September. That is the time if you as a couple want to go to a resort, because that's when people with kids are getting everybody back into school. Maybe they're finishing a move. Right now, all your real estate agents, most of your real estate agents, they're taking their time. They're enjoying their vacation because they know they're about a month away from losing their minds. Just is what it is. But if you want to go on a vacation, like I said, went to Jamaica, went to an all-inclusive, which is nice. And another little tip, if you're going to go to an all-inclusive resort, that means all the alcohol you can drink. I would strongly advise you set rules for yourself, because it's very easy to overdo it. I'm gonna just leave it out there like that. So I don't know. Is that a good tip? I think so. Buddy of mine's going. They're going to. In fact, I had lunch with a buddy of mine named Kent, and I said something about Jamaica, and it turns out he and his wife are going to the exact same resort that we went to. And I said, okay, here's what you do, dude. Drink water. I'm just saying. Understand what I'm saying to you. Drink some water, because you can. It's okay. 345-1140 is the phone number. One other little piece of personal information for those of you who follow me, who listen to the show, who like what I do. On the second Tuesday of August, second Thursday. So not next Thursday, but the following Thursday, I will be performing at Kindred Spirit Brewery. We're going to start at about 7 o'clock, and it is going to be comedy blood sport. I did this back in April. Had a blast. Had an absolute blast. Jordan, though, I tell you what, man, I figured I had such a good time. I figured I ticked somebody off because they didn't invite me back for like a couple of months.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I'm going to be on my much better behavior this time, and try to be a little bit more conscientious of the people around me.
No, you're not doing comedy unless you're making people mad.
Well, I definitely made somebody mad, but this is going to be, you're a sports guy, so you can understand this. This is not going to be me getting up, standing up, and doing, you know, 15 minutes. They said, can you do 15 minutes? It's like, it takes me 5 minutes to clear my throat.
Yeah.
This is going to be 5 minutes.
Yep.
Versus somebody else doing 5 minutes. And then the most applause moves on.
There you go.
I feel like I'm on Guy's Grocery Games or something along those lines.
When he says 3, 2, 1, go, you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of addicted to that show, too. Isn't that terrible?
It's a good show.
It's fun.
I like that show.
My wife has absolutely zero problems with me watching what she refers to as my food porn, because I'll come home, just look in the fridge and say, okay, I can make this, and it's a dish. But going to be doing a comedy out there the second Thursday. It's going to start at 7 o'clock. It is going to be, you know, one versus one. They're expecting eight comedians. Some of these people have been doing it a lot. They are hysterical. Just so darn funny. But the nice thing is everybody's going to be performing for a charity. And I'm going to be performing for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Association, whatever, leukemia research. You know, I'm going to do my absolute best to win. I'm not going to pull any punches, not any. And it's going to be a grown-up show. So if you're offended by adult comedy, please don't come out. But if you can understand, and the reason I'm getting into this is because of what I see on television every day. Because of what I hear on the news every single day. I just feel, this is me personally speaking to you as a friend. We've known each other for a really, really long time. We have forgotten how to laugh. We have forgotten how to have fun. We have forgotten that a joke can be a joke. And sometimes, you know what? It's not going to be appropriate. Sometimes it's going to be a little crude. But at the end of the day, it's a joke. Trying to make somebody laugh. I went back last night. I watched from 1985 a stand-up routine by Sam Kinison. Can you imagine a Sam Kinison out there today? An Andrew Dice Clay today? I've listened to comedians that say they will not. To be a comedian, make really good money, you used to play colleges. You go to the college, there's a big crowd, you make a nice couple of bucks. These days, so many people are offended by so much, the comedians won't even go to a college. They're like, it's not worth it. There's going to be somebody that's going to be terribly offended and have to go to a safe space or something like that. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to tell the truth. I don't tell jokes. I tell stories. And with any luck, you know what? And a little practice. I have been practicing. I'm gonna make some money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and you know, get one. If it's just a baby step, one little baby step towards a cure, okay, great. And in return, I made some people laugh. Last time I did it, a bunch of listeners came out. People I never get to see and never get to meet you. They came out. They had a great time. We can do it again. So come on out. 7 o'clock next, two Thursdays from now, second Thursday of the month, Kindred Spirit Brewery. And like I said, raise money for charity. Even if I lose, money's going to go to charity. So you know what? All good. There you go. When we get back, Kurt Akey corrected me. He's good at doing that, and I believe him. So we'll discuss another little electrical problem. We may take a trip down south at some point, and I will take your calls at 345-1140. That's 345-1140. Don't forget, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and go to WRVA.com. Download podcasts of the show and tell your friends about the home show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Oh, just to be clear, it's August 15th. August 15th, Kindred Spirit, 7 o'clock. I'll be there. They're hoping to have eight comedians. So it's pretty pretty good. And Jordan, what are you doing New Year's?
No idea.
We might have an event. Might be doing a comedy event New Year's Eve.
That would be okay.
I'm in talks with a couple of new restaurants. It should be a good time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously, you know, four 4 months from the end of the year.
Yeah, five. But
yeah, yeah, something like that.
It's going to take that much time for me to get this thing organized.
Yeah. But hey, keep us all in the loop. I'd be down for, you know, I before I had gone on a little streak of making it a point to spend New Year's Eve in a different city.
I remember
every
that.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
And then money's gotten a little tight, and then I obviously met Sarah, so things have changed a little bit. So her birthday is at the end of December, so we'll probably do something that weekend before, because New Year's is on like a Wednesday.
Well, I'm just
like,
I'm
New
counting,
Year's Eve is on like a
I'm
Tuesday.
I'm counting on
something.
Sarah being our life-saving nerd.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't watch The Simpsons, that's a designated driver. Life-saving nerd. Kirk Akey wrote me in. If you listen to the last hour, I was talking about electrical in a kitchen, and I stated, and I was right, you have to have two small appliance circuits in a kitchen if you remodel it, and one for the refrigerator. Kirk writes to me, because he listens religiously. By the way, he's doing much better, and we'll probably be talking to him in about a month, maybe two. We'll see what happens. He said, Richard, garbage disposals and over-the-stove microwaves now have to have their own circuits. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 circuits in your panel box dedicated just to the kitchen. That's amazing to me. Don't get me wrong. I can see where we need it. Think about all the gadgets in your kitchen. I started going through the other day, and I realized, here's the gadgets, and we use them. They're out. I don't put anything in the kitchen because I don't have any counter space. So anything that I put out, we're going to use it. And so far, I have this. I have the air fryer, which, you know, it's fine for things that you want to fry. But anything that's pre-breaded, that works okay. Frozen French fries, we don't eat a lot of them. I'm more of a tot guy, but even that, we don't eat very much. We have very little carbs in our house. And it's really good for chicken wings. I will say this, we have gotten to the point, because it's white chicken, and I'll make up a batch of chicken wings in a heartbeat. It still takes like 30 minutes. You know, they act like, oh, you pop it in, you pop it out. You know, if you're frying in oil, chicken wings fry up pretty quick. The air fryer, not so much. It takes some time. But we use it. It's there. It's plugged in. My convection oven. I have not used the oven in my house in 4 years. No point. Ever. I don't cook a turkey because there's only two of us. I don't need to heat up my entire oven for two people. Heck, I don't even heat up the whole oven for 4 to 6 people. I got a convection oven. Little one sits on the counter. Does everything I need it to do. She cooks pies, quiche, whatever. We're good. But it's there. It's plugged in. Microwave, refrigerator, plugged in. Coffee maker, plugged in. But because my house is old, and it's really weird, circuits in my house are ridiculous. We discovered this the hard way. Check this out. Okay, so very limited receptacles in the kitchen. There's two. And pretty sure they're on different circuits. But let's not forget the house was built 1929. So it has been, the electrical system has been added over the years. And they didn't think very hard because there wasn't that much stuff to plug in, right? What, a radio, a television. There was no microwaves. There was, DVDs, no gaming stations, no stereos, none of that nonsense. And so the other day, I'm in the kitchen, and I think I was making chicken wings, trying to make up some dinner. and my wife is in that beautiful room. Remember, I've told you about it a dozen times. She has her own room off to the end of the house. And, I mean, totally different ends of the home, totally different receptacles, and she is trying to run her air conditioner, and I turn on the air fryer in the kitchen, and it trips the breaker. Yep, that. When I gut that kitchen, I'm going to have to do so much electrical work. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. But if you got to do that many circuits in the kitchen, I'm also going to bring up this. And the reason I'm doing this for you folks is if you're thinking about building a house, if you're going to remodel a kitchen, know your electrician has just gone up. Double. You doubled your electrician bill by adding two more circuits. But if you're building a house, here's the thing that really freaks me out, and it's now code, and I've yet to put one in, just so you know. But they have these new breakers called arc fault breakers. If you listened to earlier in the show, I told you a receptacle blew up in my house. It happened. It sparked and that was the sound. Well, I mean, you've always had to have GFCIs, ground fault circuit interrupters, for your kitchen and for your outside and for your bathroom. The arc fault breakers, they are designed so if there is like the slightest of arc, it will trip. Meaning, have you ever plugged in a lamp and you see a little spark? That will trip a breaker. They are super sensitive. They're designed to prevent fires. Get it. No problem with that whatsoever. They are required for every bedroom. Okay, got it. Required for every bedroom. The breaker is $65. For one, and you need one for every bedroom in the house. You just jack a standard three bedroom. What, you just jack the price of doing your electrical by almost $200? All those little things add up, people. They all add up. It's amazing to me. I can't keep track of the codes, though I'm trying, and thanks to people like Kirk Akey and you, the listeners, I can do it. My name is Richard McCann. That's McKANN. If you want to email me, it's richardmccann@hotmail.com. One word, spell it right, and I will get to it eventually. People get mad at me because I don't see my emails. Sorry, I'm not staring at a computer all day. I'm not going to do it. I don't stare at my phone either. I'm really trying to get to the point where I'm spending as little screen time as humanly possible. I don't want it if I can help it. I encourage you to do the same thing. Well, when we get back, more fun, more of your calls, and we will talk about, oh my goodness, well, a stinky sink. Do I want to talk about the Coliseum yet? I don't know. I think I'm going to save that for our 10 o'clock show because we're here 6 to 8, 10 till noon on News Radio WRVA. WRVA 345-1140 is the phone number. Jordan, are you going to Fan Appreciation Day for the Redskins?
Heck no.
Really?
No, I'm not a Redskins fan.
What?
No.
Who do you cheer for?
I root for their arch rival, the Dallas Cowboys. I wouldn't be caught dead at Redskins training camp.
Oh, my. You know what? Of all the fans out there, and I'm going to say this, probably the most dedicated are the Cowboys fans. They are the most dedicated fans I've ever seen in my life.
I will say this. Some of them are
obnoxious,
wildly delusional. Absolutely. I think they do it just to get people to crap on them.
They're just trolling.
Yeah.
They're just trolling
but
people.
Some of them, I guess it just comes with the territory of being a football fan. Some football fans just, even though they know their team is going to be crap that season, they're still like, we're going to win it all. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
That's
no,
the
not.
Point of being a fan is like, you know, we will stick with you through thick and thin.
Yeah. There's a difference between being loyal and understanding that, okay, if we win, there's 16 games in a regular season. If we win 8 games, that's a good season for my team. Not, okay, we might go 5-11, or we might go 4-12, but we're still going to win the Super Bowl. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're going to be trash.
One of my best friends in the whole wide world, he's a Dallas fan, and he moved to Charlotte. And I'm like, dude, you live in from Richmond to Charlotte. So big difference.
Yeah.
Totally different vibe. And I'm like, well, don't think you have a professional football team. Are you going to be a Jaguars fan? No.
Panthers.
Is it the Panthers?
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers. Yeah. I was like, so you're going to be a Panthers fan? He's like, oh, no, man. No, 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 I'm going to Cowboys forever. Cowboys forever. I've never been to a professional football team.
Nah, I went to an Alabama game a few years ago when they played their playoff game in Atlanta. That was cool, but that was like the one and only high level football game that I've ever been to in person.
I'm going to Notre Dame this fall.
Notre Dame, same difference.
I speak it with an accent.
Yes, you do.
Notre Dame, because my father-in-law is alumni.
Oh, okay.
And he gets a certain amount of tickets.
Yeah.
And he says, are you guys interested in going? I'm like, I've never gone.
That'll be a cool experience because their stadium holds probably 80,000 people, 80 or 90,000 people. You're going to the game in South Bend?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Their stadium probably holds 80 or 90,000 people.
I'm just trying. I said, I cannot wait, boss, because I want to go and check out the tailgate.
Tailgating is always fun.
And he's like, well, I want to go check out the campus, and I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a good school. It's a good school.
But I mean, you know, I've never been to that. I've said for years we should go and do a tailgate at U of R because it's right down the road.
Oh yeah.
But their games are so early, we're still on air by the time they start.
Well, and then one pitfall is that Intercom is not the radio home of the Spiders. We are the home of Virginia Tech and UVA.
And I love both of those.
Competition is the home of Richmond.
Really?
Yeah. But,
I mean, I'm just saying, I just want to have some fun with some Richmonders.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd go to UVA if it was in the evening, but it's too early.
Yeah.
So... And Tech, I've been to a Tech game. That was nuts.
Yeah.
And I had won two tickets to one of the bigger games in an auction. And these were not good seats.
Right.
Because you were literally on a bench.
Yeah. That's kind of how it's going. I mean, unless your boss is like a big time donor and y'all have like seats, like 95% of the seats in Notre Dame Stadium is just like a bench.
Okay.
It's a bleacher.
And I would have had no problem on the bench except for one huge problem.
Everyone stands.
No, the guy that was sitting next to me was so wide in the backside, he was taking up his spot and 2/3 of mine.
Yeah, clearly they don't devote the time to widening the seat numbers.
You do have to realize it's more generously proportioned people out there. Not a criticism, but wasn't fun. 3-4-5-11-40. But yeah, Fan Appreciation Day today at the Redskins camp. Go for it. I think it's cool they're here. If you're a fan, why not take the advantage of it? Get outside. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day to get outside and do something. Also, I wanted to bring up that this is a sales tax holiday started yesterday. So I'll go over that in a minute. 3-4-5-11-40. Randy in Mechanicsville.
Yes, sir. Quick question. I know you talked about this before, but I just want to make sure. Always keep the vents under the house closed year round, correct?
That's the way I do it. You want to get, you want to get a vapor barrier in there, get it dried out. You don't want to go over 50% humidity. And once you're at that point, close them up.
All right. And also, we've had a couple guys come out and to give us like an estimate on vapor barriers, and they never called us back. Is there a company you would recommend?
Randy, how new are you to my show?
I listen all the time.
Okay, well.
Is it Bremac?
No, I want you to call. Air Resolutions right there in
Air Mechanicsville. Okay.
They are in Mechanicsville. I just sent them out. I had one of my partners in real estate. He bought a house, needed to have a vapor barrier and the underneath done. And the guy he uses on the regular was more expensive than my guy. So,
okay, cool.
And I know they do a good job.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Randy. Go forth and home improve.
Thank you.
Thank you. 345-1140. Hey, so this is what I was talking about just recently, because this weekend, like I said, back to school is right around the corner. I know some kids have already gone back. Weird. My nephew, he's started doing this year-round school where he's on for like 6 weeks and then is off for two or three. I don't know exactly how it works, but he's really enjoying it. It works for him. I got no problems with that, if that's the way it works. But Richmond, Virginia's back to school. Hurricane preparedness, 3-day sale tax holiday is just hours. Well, it started. It started yesterday. You can get stuff. These are things that are tax exempt. School supplies, clothing, and footwear. Qualified school supplies, $20 or less per item. When I used to buy school supplies, I went to the dollar store, straight up. A spiral notebook's a spiral notebook. I don't care who you are. Qualified clothing and footwear, $100 or less per item. Back to school clothing, why not? Why not got it tax free? Now, here's the thing, that, of course, for us, we being the home show as we are, portable generators, $1,000 or less, tax free. Gas powered chainsaws, $350 less, tax free. Chainsaw accessories, us sell chainsaws and chainsaws accessories. What the heck is a chainsaw? Oh, I guess like gloves and stuff. Other specified hurricane preparedness items. I'm sure there's a list somewhere. I'll try to find it and get it posted out there. But they are talking, by the way, about two storms in the Atlantic right now. They're way out there. But they're out there. Get your stuff together this weekend. Why pay the taxes on it if you don't have to? Chainsaw? I've got a chainsaw. I don't know if it works. You've got a chainsaw. Have you ever used it?
Nope.
Okay. I might
need it. And I remember you saying a few weeks ago, you were like, you should at least fire it up like once a year or something.
Once every couple of months, yeah, believe it or not.
Just to make sure it, because, I mean, I won it from the Chesterfield County Fair last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up. I put it in the workshop and... You know, when we thought we were going to get hit by a hurricane, I was like, sweet, I might actually be able to use it for once.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, hurricane missed us, and it's been sitting there. So I guess since I'm moving out of the place I'm in, I should probably, while I'm cleaning out, just go, okay, let me just prime this engine real quick and fire that baby up.
How is your mom doing, by the way?
She's good. She's having surgery on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, we will check up on her.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. And finally, qualifying Energy Star and WaterSense products purchased for non-commercial home or personal use, $2,500 or less. That means refrigerators, stoves, washers, dryers, what's the word I'm looking for? Dishwashers. Think about all that. Or WaterSense products, things that save you water. All of that, if it's $2,500 less, tax-free this weekend. Seems like a good idea. So get out there, get your stuff together, and get ready. Probably next week, I have the feeling, if not before then, we are going to be talking about severe weather. Just in case. I've talked to the city was trimming trees in my neighborhood. I said, what about that dead one right there? They said, not on the list. It's okay. It's not going to hit my house. It's going to hit somebody's. This is the Home Show, News Radio WRVA.
Richard McKay.
WRVA. Now, as you know, I have my real estate license, which means I have been on more than one occasion doing an open house. Not the most fun thing in the world. I'll be honest with you. It can be pretty darn boring. In fact, what's really interesting over the years of doing it is the found out that the cheaper the house, the less people come and look at it. That might mean that a really expensive house, people are just doing looky-loos. I got to send out, though, hats off to a Miss Sonia Boatwright. I'm not going to mention her her company because, well, they don't advertise and we have people that do. But she did, without a doubt, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. She listed a house. She listed a house for a couple. They had to move. So to make it sure that they got just a little bit more interest, instead of taking pictures inside the house of people and just the house, she got two people to dress up in those inflatable T-Rex dinosaur outfits like they're living in the home. This has to be one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. I laughed so hard. My wife wants one of those dinosaur outfits. I'll get her one eventually. And I just want to say, I want to be her friend. That was genius. Just genius. 3-4-5-11-40. Why, hello, Wayne and Henrico.
Yes, Richard. On routine draining of a hot water heater, mine's 7 years old. I have no problems with it. Do you totally drain it or just drain out 10 gallons? Or
is it gas or electric?
Electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie. I wouldn't bother after 7 years. Okay, because it's you. What's in there? One isn't really disrupting anything. Are you on a? Are you on a well?
No.
So you're on city water.
Yes.
All right. So here's the deal. I'm much more interested in draining gas water heaters than I am electric. Electric are heated in the middle of the water heater. You know, you got one that's about 2.5 feet from the bottom. You got one that's about 1.5 feet from the top. And that's where it gets heated, where a gas water heater is heated from the bottom, just like you're making pasta water.
Okay.
So what you end up with is this, you know, sure, you've got a certain amount of calcium in the bottom of it. In fact, if you drain it, it's going to be like this white, squishy stuff. It's really weird. But the thing is, it's really not affecting your water heater or the way you heat your water. I used to be all about, yeah, drain them once a year, and they'll last longer. After 7 years, there is, and I mean, it's very slight, super slight chance that after all this time, you drain it out and get that stuff out of there, you might wash open a little pinhole leak. So I think what I would do is leave it alone.
Okay, and if I had a brand new hot water heater, electric, would I drain it?
Yeah, once a year at least. If you have a brand new water heater, and mine's so old, I'm just going to have to replace it here shortly. What you do is you hook a hose to the bottom of it, turn off the power to it, and my dad says turn off the water and just let it drain through gravity. I say flush it by leaving the water turned onto it and blast out, like, you know, 10, 15 gallons.
Okay.
And you're probably, if you decide that you want to drain the water heater that you have now, with the amount of stuff that's in the bottom of it, you're going to have to blast it clean because it's stopped up. So
okay.
Now here's another question for you, Wayne, because you haven't taken this into account, and that's okay. The valve on the bottom of your water heater, is it brass or is it one of those white nylon valves?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
All right. The reason I'm asking this is, you know, being a plumber, we used to keep a hose on the truck. It was just a cheap hose. You know, what was the cheapest thing I could get through it on the back of the truck because it's going to get destroyed. I have found the really cheap hoses will not thread onto the nylon valves. They have no problems with the brass, but they never go onto the nylon, right? You end up stripping it. If you have a nylon valve and you decide, yes, I want to drain my water heater, make sure you use a high-quality hose because that way you won't cross-thread it.
Okay.
So have I given you enough to work with on what you thought was going to be a really simple question?
More than enough, yeah.
Outs. I feel like I have a there you go. Go forth and home improve, Wayne.
All right. Thanks much now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Later. Oh, by the way, if you have a tankless water heater, and I know some of you do, I'm considering it. I don't know if I'm going to do it. My water heater has to be every bit of 10 years old. I know I've replaced the elements and the thermostats on it at least once, if not twice. And I know the day is coming very soon that I'm going to have to replace it. I have the choice of putting in another electric or putting in a tankless. I could put in a gas, but that makes it harder to vent. But if you have a tankless water heater, I want you to know two little things that nobody probably told you. One, if you are on well water, if you have not had your water tested and then put it on a neutralizing system that will work properly for your water, you have voided the warranty on your tankless water heater. They have copper coils in them. If you live, I wouldn't put a tankless water heater in Verina for anything. Nothing. Not going to happen. Ever. No. Water's too bad. It'll eat up the tankless water heater. Now, if you have a tankless water heater and it is on county, city water, whatever you want to use. And the only reason I do that is because people have said, are you on city water? Like, I'm on the county. Oh, same thing. You still need to flush that thing at least once a year because a certain amount of scale will build up inside of them and it will reduce the efficiency. Now, it's not hard. You know, you can hire somebody to come out and they've got a pump and a bucket and they flush out your tankless water heater. You can do that. Or you can look it up online and you really can do it yourself. Now, there are some of you out there. I had somebody call me up. She's like, Mr. McCann, you put in a tankless water for me like 12 years ago. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I did. Okay, if you say so. Unlike my father, I don't remember every job I've ever done. She says, we wanted to have it flushed, but we don't have the valve system on the bottom to do it. And the thing was, when the tankless water heaters first came out, they didn't make a valve system. That came out a couple of years later. So you might actually have to have a system put on the bottom of your tankless water heater because, you didn't have it when it was put in. That's it. But yeah, at least once a year for your tankless. And all it takes is vinegar. You can do it with the CLR, and that works too. But I've done the vinegar. The problem is when I did the vinegar cleanings, it destroyed my pump. Absolutely ate it alive. It was done. But you can do it yourself. There you have it. All right, people. Well, look, as you know, I am here every Saturday from 6 until 8, 10 until noon, hosting this beautiful, lovely home show. You can call me at 345-1140. That's how you get through. Or you can email me, richardmccann@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, if you miss any of the shows, I understand. I don't approve, but I understand. You can always go to WRVA.com, download podcast of the show. Just click on my smirking face. Boom, you are there. And we have shows that go back well over a year. And if you are one of the people that listens to the podcast, please do me a favor. Tell your friends. Because believe it or not, we are a very popular podcast, and I want that to just keep on growing. So there you have it. And don't forget the radio.com app. That way you can listen to the show wherever you go. All right, Jordan, I think it's time to get on out of here. It's time to get some breakfast. That is another home show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons, Mr. Dennis Edwards for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news, and everybody that called in. I will see you right back here at 10 a.m. on News Radio WRVA.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.